Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 10th day of December 2019. And I'm thrilled to have back two guests that are going to be addressing part two of a subject that we began a number of months ago. This is a very vital topic. I can't think of a more vital topic, actually, outside of those theological issues that have salvific weight to them. Today we're going to be addressing part two of Protecting Your Child from Predators, How to Recognize and Respond to Sexual Danger. And our guests to discuss this are the two co-authors of this book by the same title, Dr. Latane C. Scott, award-winning veteran of the Christian publishing industry, having written over 24 books and having earned a PhD in biblical studies, and Dr. Beth Robinson, licensed professional counselor and approved supervisor for licensed professional counselors and certified school counselor with a teaching certificate, and a frequent expert witness in legal proceedings involving sexual abuse. And this is our subject again today, Protecting Your Child from Predators, How to Recognize and Respond to Sexual Danger. And this is part two. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome Dr. Latane C. Scott and Dr. Beth Robinson back to the program.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you for having us both back, Chris.
Great. And before we go into some of the things that we didn't cover last time, like I understand, Dr. Latane Scott, you have some information that a catalyst for this information was a New York Times article on, I believe, internet games or video games. I'm not even sure what they call them these days. I'm constantly dating myself when I try to describe these things. But if you could, we'll start with Dr. Beth Robinson and then go on to Latane. For those of our listeners who missed the first part of this program that we did several months ago, can you tell our listeners why you felt a need to add this book, Protecting Your Child from Predators, to the information that is currently available out there, whether it be in conference form on MP3 or CD or DVD or two other books that might be addressing the same issue? What was the pressing need that you saw in this particular book?
Well, I have spent almost 30 years working with children who have been sexually abused as a counselor, and the importance of this book is, instead of us addressing sexual abuse after it happens, let's prepare parents and children to recognize when a predator is trying to approach a child or when they're in a dangerous situation, so that both child and parent are equipped to try to stop sexual abuse before it happens. In essence, let's put, instead of putting the ambulance at the bottom of a cliff, let's build a fence at the top so people don't fall off. And I just see such a great, great need out there. And there's not a book that really is just for parents that goes from birth to 18 that talks about a variety of situations and red flags that parents should recognize in those situations and ways that kids and parents can be equipped to deal with dangerous situations.
And Dr. Latane Scott, I know that you're going to be addressing that New York Times article I just mentioned, but would you say that even though this horrific issue of child molestation, child abuse, sexual abuse has been going on since the dawn of man, would you say that this has been really more widespread and even more complicated and easier to hide in the 21st century due to the technology that we have available?
Well, I do know that things that were not available to kids when I was a kid are now available, like internet porn and chat rooms where a predator can approach a child. Those things didn't exist when I was a kid, nor did they exist when my children were little. So this, it really is a different world. And what Dr. Bev has done is take the experience of other parents that she's counseled with and let you see how good parents can find themselves in a situation where their child has been approached or abused. And then the hope that she gives to the reader, as she gave to the parents, about some sort of help and restoration of the soul for the child and the parents in the situation. So Dr. Beth's done a really remarkable service to the body of Christ by using her vast experience of different situations and in giving spiritual advice and spiritual counsel to people who are either in the situation or want to avoid the situations that she describes.
Now, we might as well start the program off with something that we know we didn't cover last time, and that is the aforementioned New York Times article. If you could begin, Dr. Scott.
Well, the New York Times article starts with a scenario, which is exactly what we do in our book, is we give a scenario of a parent who is, you know, thinks they're doing the right thing, and in this case, it starts out in the New York Times article with a 13-year-old boy that his mom knew that Grand Theft Auto was too violent for him, so she forbade him to play that game. But he did Minecraft and Fortnite, which are common video games.
Oh, so they still do use the term video games then?
Oh, yeah. In fact, the article does. Yeah, video games.
Okay.
But 6 weeks later, she is looking on the screen, and she sees a video of bestiality between a young boy and an animal.
Wow.
And she is shocked, and she asks her son about it, and her son was enormously relieved that his mom had found that. You'd think he'd be, you know, well, of course he was ashamed, but he was enormously relieved because this had put a horrible burden on that young soul, you know, that young mind, to be approached through a chat room or an associated internet site that was connected to the game. And so this situation is one that, like other situations, if you know what to look for, then you're not going to get in the same situation.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address right now if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Latane C. Scott and Dr. Beth Robinson, co-authors of Protecting Your Child from Predators. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen @gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal in private matter, and I could readily understand with a topic like this, there might be many people out there that have personal and private questions that would warrant that they remain anonymous, and we will obviously be more than happy to fulfill your request to keep you anonymous. But if it's just a general question, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Dr. Scott, this game that you were speaking of that featured bestiality, I'm assuming in an animated or cartoon form, involving artwork rather
than... Game.
Right.
Now, the game did not. The game itself did not feature this. The child became involved with a chat room having to do with the game. You know, like, for instance, if you and I are interested in archaeology, we might go to a site that specializes in archaeology to talk about it, although we wouldn't actually be at an archaeological dig. In the same way, a kid who's interested in a game, the game itself does not contain these images. But once he gets involved in conversations online with people about it, that is the, in this particular scenario, the young boy was approached by someone who began sending him these pornographic images.
Wow. Well, what a nightmare for a parent to discover. By the way, a quick sidebar that has nothing to do with this topic. I want to make sure I mention this to you before I forget, Dr. Scott. You may, you likely already know about this, but I was watching a documentary series. I think it was called, or is called, Lost Cities of the Bible. And they featured your friend and co-author, Dr. Stephen Collins, on the city of Sodom that he is absolutely certain that he has discovered. And I was utterly blown away that this secular program featuring a secular host who made no profession of belief in Christianity or any other religion, at the conclusion of the program, if you did not see it, he said something amazing, which doubly amazing because of the subject matter of the history behind Sodom. He said that he began this program, and of course I'm paraphrasing because I don't have his exact wording in front of me, but he said, when I entered into this topic for our program today, I had a great deal of skepticism and thought that we would just be uncovering myths and legends, but I now believe that this site of Sodom, due to the severity of the destruction here, could very well be due to the hand of God himself. Something very
cool. Wow.
You didn't see that?
No, but that's fantastic. I'll have to look for it.
Yeah, that's the law. I'm almost certain it's called The Lost Cities of the Bible or something very close to that. And it was not a Christian program. What are, if you could both chime in, and also let me inform both of you that if you have a question that you would like to ask the other guest, or if you just have something that you want to include into an answer and into the discussion, you don't have to wait for me to address you. Just chime right in with whatever you have to say, as long as you sense that there's an opening there in the conversation.
Right.
But perhaps Dr. Beth Robinson, we could start with you. What are some of the misconceptions, fallacies, things that parents and people in general, perhaps for decades, perhaps for much longer than that, believed about this subject that today we could write off as error for the sake of the safety of our children, things that parents may have been holding to as truths that have been proven to be false, or just day-to-day practices in their lives that they thought were protecting their children but have proven to be inadequate or dangerous. If you could, anything that you can think of that our listeners may have even adopted as truths in regarding to predators of children and so on.
I think the first one is that we have taught stranger danger for probably 50 or 60 years or more. And the reality is that 90% of predators are someone known by the child and the family. And so there's this kind of myth that it's this, you know, stranger in a dark trench coat, when in reality it's somebody that was probably invited into our own home. And then I would say another major concern is that we have tended to assume that most perpetrators will be adult males. And the research show that about 20% could be other children. And as the news media portrays now, we're seeing more women caught as predators. I can remember when I started out as a counselor, I didn't ask if there had been a female who had perpetrated against a kid. We didn't ever think about that. And it was early in my career, the first time that that information came out about a mother of a child I was working with. And so I think that we have tended historically to think it's not women. I think historically we have thought that somebody who's going to hurt children would not go to church. I mean, people who go to church are good people, good moral people. And we haven't recognized that because we are so trusting in churches, that it has opened up the opportunity for our children to be vulnerable. So those would be some of the things. What do you think, Latane? What have I forgotten?
No, I think you pretty well covered it. I'm glad you mentioned about the women, because today on major news networks was a story of that's coming out more and more of teachers, women teachers who sexually engage with their underage students. And that is something that's on the news all the time. And gosh, I never heard of that when I was younger, you know, it never entered my mind, like you said.
Now, having said what you said, that the frequency of the predators and the molesters being people that are very familiar to the family, perhaps even members of the family, but just close enough where they can gain access to children without being suspected of doing anything like that. At the same time, what are some of the guidelines you might have when it comes to strangers? I am amazed at how often I encounter young children in public places whose parents are present, but perhaps 10 to 20 feet away or so. And the children will just run up to you, like for instance, which happened to me recently, total stranger, engage in conversation with us. In fact, it just happened recently, much to my shock, in a men's room, a public men's room. A little boy came in alone and just struck up a conversation with me. And I remember when I left there, I was looking around to make sure I spotted the parents, and then sure enough, the mother was there. And the boy ran up to his mother and so on, and they were reconnected. But it was alarming to me that she would allow a child that young, I'm speaking of four or younger, going into a men's room alone. But if you could, what are some of the things that parents can do without perhaps unnecessarily traumatizing their children to be terrified of every stranger that's near them?
Well, I think one of the most obvious things is parents need to actually be physically supervising their children, and they need to have eyes on their kids. With technology today, there are lots of times that I see parents out in public places where they're more engaged with their phone than they are in watching their children. And one of the huge concerns I have about that with strangers now is abduction of children into sex trafficking is so much larger now than it ever used to be. And parents have got to pay attention. And I think this is more about the parent than the child. You know, your child should be with you in proximity to you in public places. I even say to parents, you know, a lot of churches now have playgrounds. And the parents will be standing around talking inside the church building, and their kids will go outside and play on the playground. And who's supervising their child while they're inside? You know, parents need to be out there. If parents are going to talk to other parents, they can all go outside and watch the kids on the playground so the kids are supervised. I don't think that makes your kids scared of strangers. I think it makes you more aware of supervision.
Now, can parents go overboard in frightening their children about the danger of strangers? I mean, can there be an excess in that area where every adult not known to that child is viewed as a possible criminal or a predator?
I don't really know, because we seem to have done a much better job of making our kids aware of strangers than we have making them aware of dangerous behaviors by people they know. You know, kids should not feel comfortable around people they don't know well. They should not go to them easily. They shouldn't talk to them easily. All of those things actually are indicative of attachment issues frequently with kids. Kids should only want to really talk with people they know, especially when they're younger. So I am not aware of cases where parents have scared them too much. That could exist. I'm just not aware of it.
Now, I remember...
Dr. Beth...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Dr. Beth gives us a scenario in our book, Protecting Your Child from Predators, in which a single mother takes her young son, I think he was maybe a four-year-old or so, to a fast food playground. And she thought she was being very responsible by sitting at a table right outside that playground. But she did not realize that there were places in that playground, you know, the maze or the ball court, I don't even know what exactly it was, but where another child had begun regularly sexually abusing her son. And her son let her know by not wanting to go to this fast food restaurant anymore. And when she realized that her son didn't have the words to be able to tell her that something bad had happened, she started investigating. But the point is that even if you're in proximity to them and you can't see them, that's a problem, which means you have to lift your eyes up from the phone to the child.
We have an anonymous listener who has said a number of years ago there was an outcry, primarily it seemed by feminists, who were appalled by parents who would use things that looked like leashes to make sure that their children were never in harm's way and where the parent could always easily see and have access to the child. These were not things that would harm physically the child, that would go around the neck or anything like that, but they were commonly called child leashes. It seems to have disappeared from the spotlight in recent years. Would you advise using things like that to make sure that your younger children, while walking through a shopping center, a mall, or other crowded place, could always be easily observed?
Well, I think there's a lot of value to just holding a child's hand when you're going through those places. If you have more children than you have hands, you probably need another adult with you when you're going through those places. I have seen on occasion special needs children, for instance, an autistic child or a child who may not have impulse control, where a parent has chosen to put one of those, it's kind of a harness on them with, you know, attachment where the parent can hold on to the child because they do know they have a child, for instance, who because of special needs might run out in traffic. So in those cases for safety, I see that as very okay. You know, my preference personally would be that parents hold the hands of their kids when they go through a store or put them in a shopping basket so they know where those children are and those children are very close to them.
But the bottom line is that you don't totally object to something that looks somewhat like a leash. I mean, I would think that what something looks like is infinitely less important than the protection it may provide, especially if the device that is being used is not in any way physically harmful.
Well, I would agree. Go ahead, Latane.
Excuse me. I have to tell the story about my friend Nancy, and people in Albuquerque will probably recognize this story, but my friend Nancy had a very active son named Jonathan, and someone had told her on their trip to the Grand Canyon that she needed to get one of these leash-type things for her son. And just because they had insisted she put the leash on the son, they got to a parking area at the Grand Canyon, and only by running after him and grabbing the end of this leash, which she had put on him, did she keep him from going over the edge of the Grand Canyon. So,
wow.
They have uses. They do have uses.
Wow. And when you think about it, anybody could easily say the same thing about a crib. Why are you putting your child in a cage? I mean, it's a It's just, it looks like a cage, but it's something that has been used for over a century as a place where children can sleep and play. They used to be made out of wood and had bars, but they may look different these days, but very often they look like a cage, but you're not treating your child like an animal just because something may resemble something that is involving animals. Am I right on that?
Yes, yes, I'm sorry. I agree.
And by the way, anonymous listener, if you were off air, obviously, email me your full name and your full mailing address. You will receive a free copy of the book that we are addressing today by our guests, Dr. Beth Robinson and Dr. Latane C. Scott, of Protecting Your Child from Predators, How to Recognize and Respond to Sexual Danger. And send that to the same address where you sent your question, email address, I should say. And cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, will ship that out to you as soon as possible. And we want to thank our friends at Baker Books for providing us with these free copies of the book that we are addressing today. We are going to our very first commercial break today. We ask of you to use this time wisely and write down questions for Dr. Beth Robinson and Dr. Latane C. Scott and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And remember, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves personal and private matter. And in fact, if it is a personal and private matter, we would insist that you use an anonymous email. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be right back, God willing, right after these messages from our sponsor.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there, so if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3943 or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, assistant professor of systematic theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths, Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com, or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which has almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which
so
is a highlight.
So tons of stuff going on,
yeah.
Tons of great speakers, and no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
Thank you. This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping to further ensure a longer life for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because we depend upon solid-ground-books.com to exist. They are a key financial supporter of this radio program, and barring a miracle of God, I cannot see us being able to exist without their help. And obviously, the more you purchase from them, the more likely they will remain our advertisers and sponsors. So with the holidays coming up, and for every special event, and also just to replenish your own personal library and your own personal edification, please always remember solid-ground-books.com, and always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with our guests today, Dr. Latine C. Scott and Dr. Beth Robinson, and we are discussing their very valuable book, Protecting Your Child from Predators, How to Recognize and Respond to Sexual Danger. And if you'd like to ask a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have Grady in Asheboro, North Carolina, who asks, "Greetings, Chris. A much-needed show and book. I keep hearing those that have been abused as children saying that a relative or person in authority over them did the abusing. How should someone prevent this from happening to their own children? Is it proper to do background checks on those in authority, such as teachers, babysitters, and even church members?" I know that I believe in this day and age, churches that have nurseries and things like that, they require, I believe, anyone who is volunteering in those positions of watching over the children to have an FBI background check. I know in the congregation where I'm a member, that was required of the people who volunteered. But anyway, if you could, either one who would like to start with that, either Beth or Latane?
Well, I think in this day and time that it's very appropriate to do background checks. I'm concerned about organizations that don't do background checks. I believe that we should be doing those. But in addition to that, I like to see parents provide intrusive supervision, where just because your kid's in a Bible class doesn't doesn't mean that you don't get up sometimes and go check and make sure they're where they're supposed to be, even when they're small children. And if they're little league practice, same thing. You know, some of the children's activities actually are ways that predators get access to them. And so I am a firm believer in background checks.
Well, obviously, with Uncle Jim and Aunt Loretta and Cousin Bob and so on, you're not going to say to them, before I let you play with my children, I'm going to have a background check on you. How do parents protect their own children from those that are closest to them, who they love, who they've known for decades? Obviously, since we've already mentioned that very often, sadly and tragically, these are the very ones that are molesting our children.
I think one of the primary things we do is we pay attention to where our children are, even when we're at family gatherings, and we pay attention to adults who want to kind of single out our child and spend time with them. That's the biggest warning sign I try to teach parents, is that you really need to pay attention to people who want to spend one-to-one time with your child without another child or adult present. The second thing, again, is like I talked about, intrusive supervision. I am that parent. You know, the parent that shows up when somebody doesn't want me to show up or doesn't think I'll show up. And the other kid, you know, my kids roll their eyes and the other kids go, oh, there's your mom again. I want to be that parent. You know, I may not even have to interact with my kid, but I want to get up from the dining room table at a family gathering and walk in and see what the kids are doing. You know, if they're in the living room or they're in the basement, I want to walk in and see what's going on.
Latane, do you have anything to add? Latane, are you there? I don't know if Latane is still with us.
I'm sorry. Oh, sometimes my phone does that. Here I am. One of the things that Dr. Beth addresses is a scenario that happened at a small group Bible study. And I think this is so common in churches where you'll have a group of five or six couples that get together and they get their children together. And the parents will study a book or a Bible passage or something in one room after they perhaps had a meal. And then the kids go in another room. And the parents, you know, think the kids are going to be in there just playing and you know, acting like kids. But in this particular scenario that Dr. Robinson knew of and was called in to help with, there was one of the children was sexually abusing several of the other children.
Wow.
And anytime a kid wants to be under a blanket with another kid or behind a couch or in a closet or anything like that, I think I'll let Dr. Beth address this, but, you know, parents, it is the responsibility of the parent not to think that any situation is safe just because it's a church situation or just because it's only kids that are in the situation.
Well, I would agree that we have tended to let kids go play again, like we talked about with the scenario of the playground at church. We have tended to think that our kids are safe because they're around other kids. And in this day and time, we just don't know what those other kids' experiences have been. Sadly, you know, it's not that kids generally come up with ideas to force other kids to engage in sexual behavior on their own. They've either seen it through viewing pornography or because of something that's happened to them. And we don't know the background and history of every child our children will be playing with.
Thank you so much, Grady, for your excellent question. And make sure we have your full mailing address, because you've also won a free copy of the book we are addressing, as long as you didn't win one last time. We had Dr. Latane and Dr. Beth on the program. But the book we are addressing today, Protecting Your Child from Predators. Give us your full mailing address if you didn't win the book last time, and we'll have cvbbs.com ship that out to you, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. And we thank once again our friends at Baker Publishing for providing us with these giveaway copies. We have another anonymous listener who has a question that really involves something that you just said, or that you both said, I believe. This anonymous listener asks, when does it cross the line from children being children to actual molestation? You know, we always see little children that don't know any better, touching each other in perhaps inappropriate ways, it, not inappropriate to them perhaps because they don't know what they're doing, but in the minds of an adult it would be appropriate. So what is the age group, or is there a specific threshold where we could say, okay, that is not just children being children, but it is child abuse?
Okay, there's a lot of factors that go into that. First of all, the most normal age for kids to play doctor, or I'll show you mine if you show me yours, is usually about 4 to 5 years of age. If the kids are not engaging in coerced behavior, that's easily redirected when a parent treats it like any other inappropriate behavior and they say, you know, we don't show our private parts to other people, we keep our clothes on. If that happens again, this is going to be the consequence. You know, you're going to have a timeout or things like that. If it's normal child exploration, normal in quotes, none of it, we don't want any of it to happen, but if it's not child abuse, that usually redirects it, okay? The things you look at in abusive relationships are, from child to child, is does one child have significantly more knowledge about the sexual behaviors than the other child? Is one child older or larger than the other child? And is one child talking the other child into it? And so you kind of look at all three of those areas. But there's a clear difference in the demeanor and the emotional reaction of kids when it's kind of what we deem as developmentally normal exploration, because it's kind of playful, and then the kids stop when you tell them to stop. If it's something more than that, it does not feel playful, and the kids are trying to hide it. They're trying to sneak around. Those are the things you look for.
And obviously, one of the most evil sins that a human being can commit is the bearing of false witness and slander that could murder the reputation of somebody for the rest of their lives. Jesus Christ even equates it with murder. And I think we, regardless of what anybody thinks about President Donald Trump, I think that we are seeing a lot of slander going on in the media of him right now, because people are using mere speculation and gut instincts and things like that to publicly declare something very wicked about him. And it is multiplied perhaps millions of times over in intensity and severity if anybody would dare to be singled out as a either possible child molester or a person who is guilty of that when we don't have hardcore facts to back that up. How do we approach situations in our households during holidays, especially perhaps, when we are leery about somebody in the family or a visitor that we have some kind of instinct that there may be something wrong there, but we don't want to obviously embarrass or humiliate or scar that person mentally by saying something in public about it? And then I'll have you both answer that question when we come back from our midway break, which we are entering into right now because I don't want to interrupt you mid-sentence. This is a longer break than normal. Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this longer break because they have to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida to adhere to FCC requirements. So while they air their own public service announcements and other things that localize us to Lake City, Florida, we air our own globally heard commercials. So use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, which will mean they will more than likely remain as our advertisers, which means that more than likely we will remain on the air for a longer period of time. But also send in questions to Dr. Beth Robinson and Dr. Latane C. Scott to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors. When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Derek Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnzen at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-1981.
631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, in addition to ordering on the internet, you can also order by phone, and make sure that you call Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, because no one mans the phone outside of those times. It's 800-656-0231. That's the toll-free number, 800-656-0231. Always mention that you heard about CVBBS.com from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I have a huge favor to ask. If you're ordering from CVBBS.com, I strongly urge you to first visit another one of our sponsors, solid-ground-books.com. And the reason I'm asking you to do that is that CVBBS.com is a book distributor, and Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com, is a publisher. So therefore, if you go to solid-ground-books.com first, make a long list of books that they publish, and then go to CVBBS.com and order them. That way you bless both of our advertisers who are on different ends of the Christian book offering. So therefore, you have one that's a publisher and you have one that's a distributor, and you can get everything that solid-ground-books.com publishes at CVBBS.com. But go to the solid-ground-books.com site first to make an exhaustive list before you go to CVBBS.com. That's just a request so we can keep both of our book-related advertisers happy. Before I return to our guests today, Dr. Latane C. Scott and Dr. Beth Robinson, on protecting your child from predators, we just have a couple of announcements for special events that are coming up that we hope you will attend. Coming up on January 9th, Thursday, January 9th, Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is having our next Pastor's Luncheon, absolutely free of charge to all men in ministry leadership. And I want to thank again my friend Dr. Latane C. Scott for bailing me out not long ago on the internet when a mob of feminists on the internet started to attack me for having a luncheon only for men. But she came to my defense amidst this internet mob of feminists who were saying all kinds of horrific things about me. But this is an event that was the brainchild of my precious late wife, Julie. Back in the 1990s, she knew that I had an extraordinary percentage of friends who were pastors and ministers and ministry leaders because of my work in Christian radio. So she said one year, instead of us exchanging Christmas gifts, why don't we treat your friends in ministry to a pastor's luncheon right near Christmas time? And I have typically, even though we've been doing this every year since the 90s, I've typically found it a better time of year in early January to have these events, although it's not fixed at that date. But this January 9th will be our next Iron Sharpens Iron Pastor's Luncheon. And the speaker will be Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. He is a world-renowned preacher and teacher and evangelist and author. He has cerebral palsy, and basically a major thrust of his ministry is to expose the charlatans and the false healers in the Word of Faith movement. That is a primary thrust of his ministry, although the gospel of Jesus Christ is first and foremost in everything he does. So we are going to be discussing protecting the sheep against wolves, and that will be January 9th, Thursday, January 9th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And not only will you eat for free and hear a message by Justin Peters for free, every man in ministry leadership will leave with a heavy sack of brand new free books donated by publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. I select a book from each publisher, and each publisher donates 100 copies of that book, so every man who attends the luncheon can leave with a copy of that book. So there are literally hundreds and hundreds of books that are available, and each man is leaving with dozens and dozens of books in a heavy sack, all absolutely free of charge. If you want to be there, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Then, coming up in January, not long after that, January 16th through the 18th, that's Thursday through Saturday, January 16th through the 18th, I'm packing up my bags again and heading down south to Atlanta, Georgia, to the G3 Conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. You've been hearing ads for this every day, voiced by Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and also Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Radio. This is an absolutely monumental event. This is open to everybody, men, women, and children. The theme this January is Worship Matters, and the roster of speakers is absolutely mind-blowing. We have Dr. Stephen J. Lawson of One Passion Ministries, my friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur, who also happens to be the most frequently interviewed guest since Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005 on this program, Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Wretched Radio, Derek Thomas, world-renowned Presbyterian author and teacher and conference speaker and pastor, Dr. Tom Askell, the director of Founders Ministries, the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention, Stephen J. Nichols, the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Kosti Hinn, who you heard James White mention before in an ad. He is the nephew of the notorious charlatan and heretic Benny Hinn, and Kosti does not mind me saying that. He says that much and more, seeking to expose the frauds in the Word of Faith movement for being the dangerous, deadly, and damning deceivers they are. And he is now a Reformed Baptist pastor. He was in California, and now he has accepted a call to a church in Arizona. And many more, and of course, as you probably heard from James White, John MacArthur has been added to the lineup. With John MacArthur there, I would go there if it was just him. He is one of my modern-day heroes. If you want to join me there, January 16th through the 18th, that's Thursday through Saturday, January 16th through the 18th, 2020, Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. And I would strongly urge you, if you have a business that you own, or if you're a leader in a parachurch organization, or you have a special event that you want to promote amongst a very large crowd of Christians, I strongly urge you not only to register to attend, but register while there's still room for an exhibitor's booth, just like I will be manning there for the fourth year in a row at the G3 conference. Something always extraordinary happens when I man an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio at this event. They typically have over 5,000 people attend this every year. With John MacArthur added to the lineup, I'm very confident that over 6,000 people will be there. And I just got some great news from World Magazine, who is going to be featuring another full-page ad for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio in the December 28th edition. This is a pastor's edition that is going to be given not only to their normal print run, those on their normal print run, but they are publishing 25,000 extra copies specifically for ministers. And every chair at the G3 conference will have a World Magazine waiting for the attendee who will be sitting there. So we are so thrilled that the issue with our ad in it will be given to everybody in attendance at G3 conference. Go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com, and register either to attend or also to man an exhibitor's booth while there's still room. And they're going to run out of room for exhibitors' booths a lot faster than they would ever run out of rooms for attendees. So I would strongly urge you, if you have any inkling to man an exhibitors' booth, go to g3conference.com soon, very soon, and register for an exhibitors' booth. Last but not least, if you love this show, you don't want the show to disappear from the airwaves. You love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones. You love hearing the guests and topics on the show that very often are never heard anywhere else. Well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing that. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail to the address that appears on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. I thank all of you who have been doing that already. You don't even know how grateful I am to you and to God for you. I am for your generosity, including my guest today, Dr. Latane C. Scott, who is a very generous, faithful supporter financially of this program. Please, if you have never given to us before, please do so today. And if you haven't done so in a long time, perhaps if you could be so generous as to send in another donation. We are in a very urgent need of your finances to pay all the bills that are waiting for us for the remainder of December and in January. It's kind of frightening, and I know that I am to be anxious for nothing, as our Lord commands, but sometimes our sinful nature kicks in, and we can't help but be anxious sometimes. So please, help us, and this is a caveat that I always try to remember to remind you. Never siphon money away from your regular giving to the local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Never do that, and never put your family in financial jeopardy to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my show is not, obviously, a command of God. But if you love the show and you're financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you want to advertise with us, as long as you're promoting something that's compatible with what I believe, you don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And if you are not a member of a Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you are living in rebellion against God. I don't want to candy coat this. This is very serious. There are no lone wolves or maverick Christians in the Bible who do not belong to a local church where they are submitting to the local elders there. So if you need help finding a church, I have helped many people all over the world find churches where they have joined or where they have recommended them to family, friends, and loved ones who need churches wherever they are in the world or where they have visited on vacation. In fact, I just found a couple of churches for someone in New Brunswick, Canada yesterday. We constantly hear from people asking for churches. So if you are in that position where you need a church you're having a hard time finding one, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, and I can help you, God willing, find a church. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guests, Dr. Latane C. Scott and Dr. Beth Robinson. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I'm very embarrassed right now because I knew that I asked you both a question before the break and I misplaced it. Do either of you remember what I asked? Hello?
Latane?
Is Beth?
Latane, are you there?
Yeah, but I don't remember the question.
Oh, Latane!
Well, we'll have to just move on, and if I think of the question or I find it, I'll ask it again. I'm very embarrassed right now. I usually don't do that. But let's see. We do have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who has a question. And the question is, how can we improve awareness of all of these steps to protect our children in our local churches and even in the schools our children attend? How can we be a voice when we are not perhaps a leader ourselves to get this material into the hands and the minds of all of those around us so that we can provide safer places for our children to exist?
Okay.
Well, one of the things that the book emphasizes is that the child's own heart has to be strengthened and protected. And one of the ways that Dr. Beth advises to do this, and this has to happen at the parental level first, is that you talk to your children about their body parts in such a way that the children know they can come to you and tell you if anyone has touched them inappropriately or spoken about their body parts in a way that embarrasses them. And so, although schools are great, churches are great, I think Dr. Beth would say the primary responsibility is the parent to have the relationship with the child. And Chris, part of what you asked before, I did kind of remember an aspect of it, is about accusations. And I think one of the things that a parent needs to do is to make sure that their children know they can come to them and tell them anything without repercussions to the child. Because, and Dr. Beth can affirm this, predators threaten children saying that nobody will believe them. They'll believe the adult and not the child.
Now I remember, but how is the parent to use that information without unnecessarily slandering and destroying the life, perhaps, of the person that the child is accusing, if it indeed is not true or exaggerated or what have you?
Well, Dr. Beth, go ahead.
Let me hop back to the question that was asked and also add, before we move on to this, that I think sometimes even having a book like this or this MP3 that you could hand to a principal at school or send an email to a principal at school, if you're trying to get the school to be more aware of these issues or you're trying to get a church to be, I think passing along a resource is a great way to get them to pay more attention to what's going on and maybe provide opportunities to educate a lot of parents. Sorry, I wanted to get that in before we moved on.
Sure. And also, my own thought, do you two, either together or separately, conduct seminars or conferences on this issue?
We would, yes.
Great.
Yes, we would.
And I know off the top of my head, since I've interviewed her so many times, I know that Dr. Latane C. Scott's website is latane.com, LATANE.com. So you could contact her there and set something up if that is indeed your desire. But going back to the very sticky situation of children that might be giving a false report, children are getting more and more savvy. And I mean, I know that I'm going to be saying something controversial here because I don't want people to doubt the reports of children necessarily, but you have, I can even remember my own nephews, who are now adults, when they were children and their mother, my sister, would scold them, the immediate response blurted out by the older child is, "I'm reporting you to social services." Because they become savvy as to the rhetoric and the conversations that are being conducted on TV every day. You very often have parents sitting on the couch with children watching these programs, these talk shows, and, you know, you'll have discussions like that come up. So obviously, even though we wouldn't want to rule out the reports of children when they are reporting something like this, how do we not always give in to the reports and possibly ruin the life or lives of people that, because of the charges being false?
Well, I think an interesting statistic is that out of children who recount their initial report of being sexually abused, the research shows about 95% of them were telling the truth initially, and they withdrew the report because they recognized that it's the adult. So I'm saying that just, which kind of doesn't answer your question, and I'll move on to the question, which is, I think what's very important is that if a child makes an accusation, that parents and other people don't ask a ton of questions. They get them immediately referred to a forensic interviewer. A forensic interviewer is trained on how to ask kids questions, and a good forensic interviewer could very quickly tell if the child had been sexually abused or if this was kind of made up, instead of letting lots of people talk to the kid. And the other thing I would say is, I think as parents, we have to believe what our kids tell us until proven otherwise. Our job is to keep them safe. And I think it's harder in families when maybe there hasn't been an accusation made, but the family kind of knows that Uncle John hasn't been real safe, or Aunt Sally, or whoever it is. And in that case, I say it still comes back to supervision for the parent. You know, if you're providing supervision of your kids, then these individuals at family gatherings won't get access to your kids. And I think that's your primary responsibility. You know, we tend to sometimes confuse our role. Our role as a parent is to protect our child. It's not to figure out if somebody has offended against another child and protect everybody else's children. Our job is to protect our child. So,
and I'm assuming,
what do you want to add in there?
No, I think it's very important to emphasize that there has to be a relationship of trust between the child and the parent, where the child can come to the parent and voice concerns, say, you know, Uncle John makes me uncomfortable when he tickles me, or I don't want to sit on Grandpa's lap, or I don't want to, you know, whatever. The children should not be forced into having any kind of physical contact that makes them uncomfortable, period. You know, if they don't want to be kissed, they ought not be kissed. If they don't want to be hugged, they ought not be hugged. And often the child is sending a message, at least I've learned this from Dr. Beth, that a child is sending a message by the fact that they don't want to be around a certain person.
Dr. Beth, are you at liberty to give at least some kind of description of some of the cases where you have sat in as an expert witness in court?
I try to de-identify those cases, so when I talk about cases, I usually talk about a combination kind of cases, so they're not easily identifiable. But I have sat in on cases. To be honest, we've actually gotten lots of settlements on cases where I was involved because the child was able to tell me exactly what happened, and then because I had recorded all that and they knew the child would testify, we got things negotiated. I think there's one in the book where I talk about a music teacher that was a highly trusted friend. That one has really resonated with me for years because the music teacher was a very close friend of the family. And the family was completely devastated. And the kid, who was about 16 or 17 at the time, had been subpoenaed to court as a character witness for the music teacher because other males had made accusations that the music teacher had sexually molested them. And the kiddo who came and saw me was going to go to court, and his parents had raised him in a godly home. So his plan was, on Monday. I saw him on Thursday. On Monday, he was going to go to court, and he was going to tell the truth about what this perpetrator had done to him. And his parents thought all of his fear and his anxiety about testifying was about testifying, and so they brought him to see me so that we could discuss what the process was to testify in court and that. And I took one look at him, and I went, oh, my goodness. I mean, bless his heart. And I just said, can you tell me what's happened? And he outlined being sexually abused by this individual for several years who enticed him initially by ending private music lessons by showing him porn. And then he got him to engage in sexual activities with him because he told the kid, and you know, kids aren't logical like we are. He told him that he would tell his parents about him watching porn if he didn't do what he wanted to, him to do sexually. And so the kid complied because he didn't want to be in trouble for watching the porn.
Wow.
And it turned out that we got the DA and the investigator involved and found out from the kid, it wasn't me, it was a forensic interviewer, found out that this music teacher had videotaped all of this. And so they got a search warrant, went in his house, found all the videotapes, and it turned out that he did a plea bargain, and the plea bargain was actually because of the child porn, because he got a lot more time for that. So I never had to testify in that case, and yet was very integral into how that got settled. And so sometimes being an expert witness is not always just being on the stand. It's also about what happens before you get on the stand.
John in Bangor, Maine asks, has the sexualization of our culture, where everything has some kind of sexual connotation, whether subtle or not so subtle, including advertisements, including your average sitcom being aired at an early hour of the evening, and everything else in the media has been hyper-sexualized, to the point where is that one of the reasons sometimes children wind up being predators against other children? And of course, I believe that our listener is speaking about as opposed to the past where things were comparatively tame in the media. It doesn't mean that the child-on-child molestation didn't exist back then, but has it become, to your knowledge of history, more prevalent now because of the intensity of sexual connection in the media with everything, with commercials, with sitcoms, etc.?
You know, we don't have statistics from years past to base this on, so that's hard to compare, but I can tell you that we are seeing children who are sexualized, who have not actually experienced being sexually abused themselves, but have seen sex acts through porn or through TV shows that people call soft porn now, the R-rated shows. They see enough there that the kids do act out what they see. And so from that perspective, I would say it's definitely impacting our children.
We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, what is your opinion about the pageants that go on with little girls dressed up like adult women, very often dancing around in sexual ways that we would never perhaps view them right off the top as sexual, but they are gyrating and dancing to music that is very sensual and worldly? I, for one, am appalled by this.
Well, Dr. Beth has just that.
I think any time that we sexualize how our children are dressed or how they are acting, it makes them a little bit more of a target. It's appealing to sex offenders, and you hate to say that, but I think we have to be aware of that. So I would be extremely cautious about having our children dress and act older than they are and dressing them in sexualized ways and letting them engage in activities in which they engage in behaviors that can be viewed as sexualized.
Now, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to the vast majority of parents and perhaps even specifically mothers who get their daughters involved in this. They view these things as cute and innocent. But is there, in your opinion, anything innately wrong with it other than the way that it can be wrongly viewed and used by those who are evil. Is there any place at all for pageants where little girls are dressed up like adult women to take place?
You know, here would be the way I would handle that. I would defer that question to a male. You know, I would defer that question a lot of time when we have a teenager and mom and dad are disagreeing about what she should wear because mom wants her to look fashionable and dad looks at what she's wearing and goes, I know what the guys are going to think. I tell the moms, I said, you let dad set the boundary there. And so I would turn this question back to a male and say, what do you think?
We have... I'm sorry,
Latane. Was your listener a male? Yeah, was your listener a male who... He said it, the person said they were appalled. Was it a male or a female? Do you know?
Harrison in Mechanicsburg. I assume Harrison is a man.
Okay. Well, that proves Dr. Beth's point.
Yeah. Yeah, that is... a mother might, or a woman might be... naive to the fact that this is a sexualization of a little girl, where you know, the man might be more sensitive to the issue. And of course, I may get complaints for saying that it might be considered a misogynistic comment. I don't know, but I think that that could be very well the case. Let's see here. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who asks, if one were to invite you to conduct a seminar on this very issue, what kinds of things would we expect to be conducted at such an event?
Well, we would do...
Dr. Beth has actually come to my church and to a school where I taught and presented a program in which she... made the educators and parents aware of potential dangers. And just speaking for my church, and of course, Dr. Beth and I don't live in the same city, she traveled over and our church made major changes, such as we installed windows in all our classrooms. Children cannot go to the bathroom with just one adult. Other things that should be no-brainers, but they weren't no-brainers for us. So she gives very, very practical tips. And I'm just the brawn. She's the brains. I'm the
Well, you do have a PhD, so I wouldn't cut yourself short.
I'm going to disagree with what she said. She is a major contributor to what we do, and particularly helping me see it through a theological lens. So it's an equal partnership.
Praise God. Let's see here. We have an anonymous listener who asks, and this actually plays right in the hands of your comments about Latane's theological training and knowledge. Why do you think the Bible is completely silent when it comes to child molestation?
Oh, it's not. It's not. Jesus said that if you offend a child, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the ocean. It's not silent at all. The Bible, our God is the protector of the innocent. He's the protector of the people who can't speak for themselves. He's the champion of widows and orphans. So no, the Bible's not silent at all about it. And in the book, we give a lot of theological training to parents so that they can help their children understand that they're sexuality is something given to them by God, you know, that God created their bodies. And by the way, Dr. Beth has an amazing coloring book called God Made Me, where you can sit down with a child and color pictures and talk about safe and unsafe scenarios and about the fact that God made your body and that you can protect your body and your parents want to help you protect it. So no, the Bible's not silent at all.
And we are going to our final break right now. If you'd like to join us with a question of your own, I would strongly urge you to do so quickly before we run out of time. Our email address, as always, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Latane C. Scott and Beth Robinson on protecting your child from predators.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church of Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm so grateful to our sovereign God that while manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron at a major Bible conference, I providentially met Pastor Andrew Smith of Christ Reformed Community Church, just south of Jacksonville, Florida, right off I-95 in St. Johns County. Andrew is certainly the kind of pastor that is a perfect match for my radio show and has already proven to be an ideal guest. Christ Reformed Community Church shares my conviction that God is both creator and sustainer of the universe. He rules and reigns providentially over our lives. He directs not only the historical events of the world, but also the personal events of individuals. I agree with Christ Reformed Community Church that the very purpose of the church is to make disciples, that we are tasked with the responsibility to evangelize locally, nationally, and globally, and that we are to equip the saints for the work of service. Unlike the man-centered, seeker-sensitive movement, they do not gauge the success of biblical discipleship by how many people are in a church, but by the faithful ministry of God's Word and Gospel. For more details on Christ Reformed Community Church, visit ChristReformedCC.com. That's ChristReformedCC.com. Or call 904-955-9881. That's 904-955-9881. Tell Pastor Andrew that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Pastor Andrew Smith, and I'd like to urge you to consider joining Christ Reformed Community Church of St. John's, Florida, in financially supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back, Dr. Latine C. Scott and Dr. Beth Robinson. We have another theological question from another anonymous listener who says, or asks, how do we respond to those who try to justify typically a spouse who is male being far older than a spouse who is female because of the fact that we read things in the Bible about Mary, which, from what we understand, was a young teenage girl when she gave birth to Jesus, and also that there are cultures in Orthodox Judaism and other religions where there are arranged marriages, But the spouses do not consummate that marriage until the bride is of childbearing age. These kinds of things are used to justify a huge span in ages in marriages. Do you have an opinion on how to respond to these folks that try to justify these things?
I guess that would be me answering that, huh? Well, with the example of Mary, we don't know her age, nor do we know the age of Joseph. Neither one are listed at all. It says that she's a virgin, but it does not say her age.
Don't historians typically believe, though, that in that day and age, and especially in the Jewish culture, that girls got married at a very young age, far younger than today?
Well, yes, but we have an elder in my congregation that married his wife. He was 21 and she was 14. So,
wow.
It was one of the most successful marriages I've ever known. I don't know how you justify marital customs today, trying to look at marital customs then when they're not specified in the Bible. I don't believe there are any ages listed that are proper for marriage or not. If you're just going to depend on what historians say, I'm not comfortable with that because I want to just say what the Bible says in the way that it says it and not speculate.
I'm assuming that situation with your elder, those kinds of situations are to be considered very rare, I'm assuming, and there has to be specific circumstances involved, especially with the parents that are giving full support.
Yes, giving permission. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I'm just saying that it happens. It does not have to be in Jewish cultures or third world countries or anything else. I would not let my 14-year-old get married to someone older, but in this particular case, it worked out.
Well, I'd like you to both have a minute to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today on this subject. And we'll start with Beth.
I think the thing I most want people to hear is this is an issue that involves people you know. It's not stranger danger, and I've said it two or three times today. These will be people that you know and trust. You have to supervise your children when they're around, peers and adults, and it's okay to provide eyesight supervision and be intrusive about it to keep your kids safe.
And Latane?
One of the things we emphasize in the book is that Christians have an advantage that non-Christians do not have, and that is that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who sometimes comes across as a uncomfortable feeling about someone or something else. But we have extra help with our situations, and plus we need to remember that we don't battle against flesh and blood. We are battling against powers and principalities. This is a giant cosmic battle with a giant cosmic evil personality, Satan, behind it. And even though it comes out and it's manifested through human beings, the Bible tells us that we need to step back and see that this is part of the kind of battles we're going to have to fight for our children until they're adults. We have to put on that whole armor of God. We have to be in the Word. We have to pray. And we have to depend on our Lord and Savior to help us in these situations.
Any book projects on the fire for either of you, either individually or together?
Well, yes, we have another book coming out from Bethany about how to talk to your teenager about sex. And Dr. Beth and I just finished that book.
Wow. When will that be in print?
Sometime next year, I think.
Great. Well, I'll have you both back on to discuss that.
Okay.
If you'd like to.
I would love to.
All right, great. Well, I want to thank you both so very much for participating in this very important program. And if anybody did not win this book, or even if you won the book and you want to buy extra copies, go to cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com, and order How to Protect Your Child from Predators. And it's a Baker Publishing product. And you can also go to latayne.com, LATAYNE.com. Dr. Beth, do you have any contact information that you want to add?
My website is kidscallmedoc.com.
KidsCallMeDoc, and that's D-O-C, right?
Yes.
KidsCallMeDoc.com. I want to thank you both so very much. I want to thank everybody who listened today, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.